Lisa, thank you for sharing. Okay, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. We thank you that we can come together freely, Lord, to hear your word. And I ask that your word would work in each of our hearts, Lord, that we'd realize that the kingdom of heaven is near. And Lord, that we can be part of it. Lord, that it's more important, that it's more eternal than the things that we see. Help us to live that way. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so it was probably like a week ago or so, Laurel shared with me a couple testimonies from the women's chat that they had. And I was really encouraged by what I heard, and she asked for permission if I could share them again. So one was them was from Melanie, who we know is going through a very challenging time. I don't understand everything she's going through, but obviously she struggles getting out of her room at times, struggles with balance. And one of the things she shared was that sometimes even the movement of her kids in her room causes her equilibrium to go out of balance. And here you are, here's a mom. She wants to be mom. She wants to take care of her kids, but their very presence at times can cause her to not be able to focus properly and cause her whole mind to start spinning, which I can relate to a little, just the part about the equilibrium being out, because I've experienced that, where I had this come upon me one day, the day before I'd gotten a little hit on my head and I didn't think much of it, but the next morning I literally could not get out of bed. The whole room was spinning. I could not stand up. And the part of the chat that really caught my attention was she believed that if God has allowed this in her life for this time, that God would also take care of her children because he loves her children. And I was really encouraged when I heard that part. I was like, wow, that is awesome. And another part that Laurel shared from the women's chat was from Sherry. And we know that Craig and Sherry lost a little one a number of years ago, a two-year-old, I believe. Is that right? And you can imagine if you've gone through that and you have more children, that you could be plagued with fear the rest of your days, thinking, when is the next one going to be taken from me? And yet her response in the chat, once again, really encouraged me. She said, you know what? God has each of their days numbered. I thought, wow. And there's a similarity between both testimonies if you listen closely. One was, God loves my children. And the second one was, God has each of their days numbered. And for both of them, Melanie wanted to make it clear, don't have them share it saying I've arrived and got everything figured out. We're not suggesting she does, but for both of them in that situation, in that test, when they believed that God was good and that they believed a truth about God, it produced a rest with respect to that aspect of their life. And I thought there's something for us to learn here. There's something to learn. This is faith in action. And so turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to start in verse 5 about Noah and the time in which he lived. Genesis 6:5, it says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he made men on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them." And then go down to verse 13. "And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." God's speaking to Noah. He says, "Noah, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the earth shall be, the length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing flood waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. And then go to verse 22. It says, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. So I just wanted to think about this here, because we know that Noah was also a man of faith. We read about him in Hebrews. We'll turn to Hebrews 11 next. But what struck me was that God told him that the earth was going to be destroyed with water. And it took years for Noah to do what he was told. Can you imagine what he went through over decades of building in a desert, pretty much? He was believing what God told him. He was believing that the earth would be destroyed with water. This is probably, we can't guarantee it, but in Genesis it says that the earth was watered with a mist from below. The first time we read about rain is when the flood came. And yet Noah believed what God said, even though he would have had countless times to doubt what God said. Like, does this even make sense? You and I have never seen the total earth flood with water, but we've seen floods. We've experienced one last year. So we'd be more likely to believe what God said. But yet Noah, he really believed it. He spent decades of his life following the exact instructions of the Lord to build an ark for the saving of his household. And why did he do that? Because he believed what God had spoken. And I guess what I was struck by was he didn't go by what he saw. Because if he went by what he saw, he would never have built that ark. And he would have perished with the rest. But yet he decided to go by faith. He decided to put his confidence in what God said. Just like Sherry. My children all have their days numbered by God. She believed God. And Melanie also believed that God was good and that he cares about my children who he gave me and at this time is not allowing me to take care of. There's a similarity. They all believed God. And so if we turn to Hebrews 11, we can read a verse here about Noah. Hebrews 11, verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah being divinely warned of things not yet seen. God warned him, and what did he do? He believed God, and how do we know that he believed God? He then was moved. He did something, right, for decades of his life. He was ridiculed. Can you imagine? He would have been ridiculed countlessly by those around him, thinking he was a crazy person to live his life and to spend his days doing what he was doing. It's no different for you and I. If you and I want to follow Jesus wholeheartedly, people around us will think we're crazy, that we're more concerned about a lot of things that they're not even one bit concerned about. We're more concerned, for me, I'm more concerned about my children following the Lord than I care about their grades, their education, or their career and all the rest. That people around me will think that's weird because they're very concerned about what that career is going to be and how much they're going to make and all the rest. Why am I not as concerned about that? Because it's going to pass away. It's very temporary, but eternity is forever. So I'm very concerned about their spiritual state. That is by far the most important thing. And there's so many other things. We want to conduct ourselves in an upright way to please God because we have eternity in view. We can read all kinds of verses in Hebrews where people were looking for a city that they hadn't even seen, but they were believing that it was coming. How about you and I? Are we living our lives that way? We should be. for people of faith. Anyways, we look here in this verse 7, we can see he was moved with godly fear. He prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. This is what God has for you and I, is that we become heirs of righteousness according to faith. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he ended up acting on what he believed. Let's look in verse 23. Look at this one. Here's some parents. Therefore, it was necessary. Chapter 11, verse 23. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. That's interesting. Most people in Egypt were very scared of Pharaoh, because he was an extremely powerful man, and he didn't have a lot of respect for life. He had no problem killing. But yet these people, they didn't live in fear of the king's command. They were loving their child, and they wanted to see him do well. They put him in that little basket and put him into the river. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. What did Moses do? Moses esteemed, he valued being associated with Christ, it says, so much so that it didn't matter if you got ridiculed. Are you and I living that way? Are we looking to the reward? Are we looking toward eternity? Can you imagine eternity in heaven? Eternity in heaven. Is that what you're looking for? Because if so, you're going to want to be associated with Jesus today. And the ridicule we might face from those around us, it's so small in comparison, right? The temporary sufferings that we experience are very small in comparison to the reward that awaits us. So, I was just once again coming back to this. We see that Moses, he was putting confidence and he was putting his hope in something not yet seen. But God had spoken and he was trusting God. In the same way, you and I, we all face trials. If I asked, is anyone in a current trial right now? I bet you many hands would go up. If anyone been in a trial in the last month, I bet you every hand would go up. Right? And if I asked a month from now, has anyone been in a trial in the last month? I bet you all the hands would go up again. We're going to face some tests. We're going to face some trials in the weeks ahead if we're not in something right now. But the good news is that there is a truth either found in Scripture or a principle found in Scripture that we can hold on to that will help us overcome in the midst of the tests and the trials that we face. Just like Melanie and Sherry were living examples. They had a great testimony through faith. We too can have that testimony through faith in believing God and what he has said and who he is. And so I would challenge us when we find ourselves sometimes, I don't know about you, when I'm going into a test or a trial, I can get discouraged. I mean, I get bombarded in the mind with all the things going on, or sometimes it's just too much. How am I going to do this? And I lose my peace. I get anxious. What do we need to do? Faith comes by hearing the word of the Lord, right? We need to get into his word. We got to go, Lord, I'm struggling. I got to get into your word. Lord, show me something that I can cling to, that can be like an anchor for me in this time of testing. We need to get fellowship with others. When we're getting beat down in our minds, we're really struggling. We need to get fellowship from others, because what do? They share, hopefully, God's truths with us, principles about who he is. They remind us of the goodness of God so that we can then latch on to something. And so I would encourage you, if you're in a time of testing or trial now or in the month to come, when that time comes, say, God, what is it? What truth can I cling to? What truth can I cling to? Noah did. He believed what God said. He was moved with godly fear. He believed that the whole earth was going to be wiped out with a flood, even though he'd never seen rain fall from heaven. He'd never seen a flood before, and yet he believed that. So he had countless opportunities to doubt it. Just like you and I, in the midst of our tests and our trials, the enemy's always trying to get us to doubt the truth that we need to believe to overcome. So there's a battle, right? There's a battle there that we need to cling to and hold fast to God's truth. So I want to encourage us in that time that we do that. And so sometimes when we're struggling, our temptation is, I'm kind of worn out. Sometimes the battle in the mind wears a person out. I just want to get into bed. But what do I need to do? It's not that sleep is wrong, but what do I need to do? Sometimes I got to, especially Friday night. You know what? For me, Friday night is an opportunity to be encouraged. I'm not saying Friday night for you might be that place, but it is an opportunity. I just want to go to sleep. No, I don't got to get to Friday night. You'd be surprised. I leave Friday night more encouraged than when I went. Why? Because I get brothers and sisters around me. So what I'm saying is get fellowship. It doesn't have to be Friday always. It can be any day of the week. Do we reach out via chat? Do we reach out by a phone call? Do we get together for Bible study? Do we get together with a brother or a sister or a few and say, here's my burden, pray for me. Is there any verses you can encourage me with? Are we open to that? The temptation is sometimes we say, I don't want to hear that. Well, no, that's exactly what we need to hear. Do you guys have any verses for me that could encourage me? Do you have a truth? Can you remind me of a truth that might help me through this test or trial that I'm going through? That's what we need. Ask for it. Makes it even easier for those that got something to share with you. If you just say, Lord, give them something to share with me. Come with a heart that says, I want to hear something that might build my faith. And I'm going to finish off with this verse because I think it might summarize what I've said. 1 John 5, verse 4, a common one. It says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. How do we find victory? We find victory through faith in what God has said, in God. And so that's where the victory lies. Some of us say, man, I'm not really overcoming in this test and trial. I feel so burdened. When I can't sleep early in the morning, sometimes it's 4 o'clock. I'm just stressed about work or whatever. What do I have to remind myself? Simple truths. God, you became wisdom for us. You can help me even in natural things. You can help me know how to do my job properly. Lord, you said you're not going to give me more than I can handle. It seems like way more. But Lord, we know that you're going to provide a way that I can overcome. I have to choose to believe the word. If I just look at my problem, it's too big. Are we focusing on the mountain? Or are we focusing on the one who's going to move the mountain? Right? We've got to focus on him and what he has said. And so there's a verse on our wall, which is a fabulous verse. And I've pointed it out over the last couple of weeks. I've been pondering this very message. And it says the following in Romans 15, 13. It says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. And one version says, as you trust in him. Or here it says, in believing. But as you trust in him. Do you need joy and peace? It's going to be found as we trust in him. Even in the midst of our tests and our trials. That is the key. And I was just so encouraged when I heard those testimonies because God had given them a testimony because of their faith. And he wants to give all of us that testimony. And you know what? The trials don't necessarily go away. Right? Trials don't go away. But we can have peace as we trust in him in the midst of the trial. And that should be our testimony, that there is victory in Jesus, that we can have peace in the midst of this world that we're living in and the trials that we're going through.